Welcome to the Uplifters Podcast, where every week we talk to women who are doing big, brave things and showing us how we can too. This week, I am thrilled to introduce you to Deshi Singh, who started her career as a finance executive on Wall Street and is now the co-founder and board chair of Chamber of Mothers, a national nonprofit that's uniting moms as advocates for the America we want to live in and leave for future generations. What started as a social media experiment around federally protected paid leave has grown into something truly remarkable. There are now 45 chapters across 30 plus states that are working to create real policy change around paid leave, accessible childcare, and maternal health outcomes. In this conversation, we're going to dive deep into how to move from the paralysis of feeling overwhelmed to the energy of being fully, truly, totally engaged. How to build the courage capital to do big, brave things. And why hope, not happiness, might be the secret ingredient we've been missing all along. Whether you're a mom feeling isolated, someone wondering how to channel your passion into purpose, or just curious about what real grassroots change looks like in action, this conversation is going to give you such a rush and get you inspired to act. Let's dive in. Deshi, I'm just so happy to be here with you today. As we kick things off, just start by telling us a little about Chamber of Mothers and how it came to be.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for asking. And I'm so excited to be chatting with you today. Chamber of Mothers is a national nonprofit uniting moms as advocates for a better America, one that we want to live in today, that supports moms and families, and one that we want to bestow upon future generations. And we all came together back in the fall of 21 when federally protected paid leave was about to be cut from the Build Back Better legislation that was up for a vote. And quite truthfully, you know, I don't know about you, but most people, myself included, am not always following what's happening in Washington, D.C. and what all this means, and certainly had no idea what was on the line. Oftentimes, I think that a lot of what goes on in Washington, D.C. happens in an echo chamber. And so when it came to paid leave, which, by the way, I think is a terrible name and very badly marketed because it does not indicate what it is or why it's important. Our original co-founders were tapped to basically let the quote unquote, and I say that truly, everyday American moms all across the U.S. understand what was on the line when it came to federally protected paid leave. You know, we were called in pretty late in the game, and we created this social media moment saying, you know, we're not going to build back bleeding and tell us your stories. You know, what was it like to go back after you had a child, or what was it like to not have access to federally protected paid leave? And the stories just poured in. It was heartbreaking and emotional and surprising and really eye-opening how much that one ask touched women across the country. Most people don't have the luxury of sitting at a desk or a computer. Most women go back to work 2 weeks after giving birth. We heard stories about women bleeding through their pants at a, you know, picking and packing facility, and just really understanding and humanizing all of these decisions being made for us and what does it mean. And so Chamber of Mothers was born.
Wow.
And fast forward to today. And we are very much a stand-up 501c3. We are uniting moms, giving them access to education and ways to make impact in their lives to understand these really complicated issues that affect them. So, you know, what we realized, and I think is so true, is that moms always talk about feeling, right? About the overwhelm, about the stress, about the isolation. But we help at Chamber of Mothers translate those feelings into action and hope by way of policy change. We'll be able to get federally protected paid leave, accessible, affordable childcare to all moms and families across the country, and certainly improve maternal health outcomes. Moms should not be dying in childbirth, especially when it's preventable.
No.
And we have chapters all across the US. So we have 43 chapters or 45 chapters. I feel like that number keeps going up and we're so proud of it across 30 plus states, plus an interstate virtual military chapter. Our director of grassroots advocacy, Annie Bacon, is a single mom herself, and she's an artist living up in Michigan. And she is just a true hero, the backbone of building and nurturing and supporting this grassroots movement of moms on the ground that have reached out that want to create change in their communities. We work with brands to shift the narrative about what it means to be a mom in this country. And we also are in DC. We're establishing relationships with elected officials on both sides of the aisle, as you know, maternal health is not political, right? What we are really becoming is similar to an AARP for moms. So uniting our voting power and our spending power, and also just our voice, bringing these topics into the mainstream, making sure that they're thinking elected officials, whether they're moms or not moms or dads or not dads or wherever they are in the spectrum, understand that these are topics that need to be talked about and brought up. And just that's what we're doing. We're going to keep talking about it.
That's incredible, making it impossible to ignore. And it represents such a massive segment of the population that has been underrepresented. And we've heard the saying, of course, forever, who gets things done? Moms get things done. And yet, as women, as mothers, we have such a tendency to prioritize everyone else. And there is this group of mothers who said, no, moms, let's look out for each other so that we can be well just as ourselves, for ourselves, but also for our children, our families, our communities.
This really is about everybody, right? And that's why it's called the Chamber of Mothers. There's not one single person that is the figurehead or in any way leading this. This is about coming together arm in arm, showing up across the country, lifting each other up in every single one of these conversations, and also partnering and supporting folks that are already on the ground and have been doing this work for so long. It's not a let me elbow you out so we get space, which unfortunately I think has happened a lot with any organization, right? Money is limited. Attention is limited. This is just this moment of pure celebration and support and wanting to lift you up in the hard moments and in the wonderful moments. And let's tell each other stories. Let's make this about all of us, right? And I think that is truly the power of Chamber of Mothers.
Yeah, certainly there's that relational aspect of it and hearing the stories, feeling seen and known and normalizing that this is freaking hard. Let's talk about the fact that if this feels hard to you, you're not alone. And there is something so powerful in showing progress because women, and maybe especially mothers, again, have this tendency to tolerate and to accept what is as what is and to just cobble together our resources and handle it. And so we live, I feel like, in a time of defeat. There is this pervasive feeling of, well, is change possible? A sense of hopelessness. And there's been a lot of research lately that has looked at the role of hope in happiness and meaning. And the latest metadata indicates that actually having hope is more important than having happiness.
That's so powerful.
Right. And I think we're sold happiness is like the great goal.
No.
But I actually think what we need is hope. And so when I listen to what you're doing, I notice I'm filled with hope.
I'm so happy to hear that. And I think that information is so incredibly powerful. And one of the things that we have been told is that our chapters on the ground give function to hope. So it's being able to come together, and it's not just a bunch of ladies gabbing over whatever it is, but it's fed up and fired up. Like, okay, now we're upset. We have all of these emotions, but what can we do? Right.
And not that fed up and taking a nap.
Yeah.
Yes.
Although sometimes that's needed and nice too.
Naps are good too, especially if they get you to fired up.
Yeah.
But I guess fed up and numbed out is the opposite of what we want. We want fired up. Yeah.
Exactly. And to build that hope, right? To come together and to see that we can create a community action plan together. And what matters in our community? Where are the issues? Where are people struggling? And how do we talk about the struggle of motherhood? And is this really about us, or is this something bigger? And what can we do? And hey, our elected officials are supposed to represent us. I think about our elected officials and it feels so foreign or so far away. And it's always coming back to the fact that no, they are there to help us and to represent us and to support us. But moms, especially in our everyday, and it breaks my heart to hear you say that, but I agree with you, is that there has been for a long time the sense of hopelessness, and the world feels so heavy, regardless of who you are and where you are. There's just a lot happening at all times. Not everybody is going to have the time to show up and attend a meeting or call elected officials or write a letter. And I think that's really also the key, is understanding and recognizing that we're all at different places in this journey of ours, right? Mm-hmm. And being able to find a place of support or engagement for whatever type of quote unquote advocate you might be, or whatever type of fed up and fired up you might be. So if it's even just recognizing that for yourself, that's one thing, right? If it's maybe being able to have a conversation at the dinner table or bringing it up to your friend over a cup of coffee and seeing what they think, like, that's amazing as well, right? This is all about just starting to normalize and encourage the conversation.
Yeah, it sounds to me like it is about engaging instead of disengaging. And that's really the polarity that we're talking about here. And when we are overwhelmed, our tendency as humans is to disengage, to retreat into the uncertainty of it in all things, our careers, our relationships, our government. And so I think what you're doing here is you're finding pathways for people to engage. Did you always know, Dashi, that you were an activist and an advocate?
Absolutely not. I think that this is really just about, this is the wonderful journey of life, right? And also just going through my own challenges and overcoming them through, but I finally stepped into my true north. And my true north is to support women and girls globally and here in this country. And I know in my heart of hearts that when women are held up and made whole and recognized and included in conversations and truly respected for the value that we bring, both to the family as well as the economy.
Yes, I'll bet on girls and women every time. When you talk about true north, what does that phrase mean to you?
That's a good question. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background and then I will get to true north. So I am very fortunate in that I am a daughter of immigrants. I'm the youngest of three kids. I was born in this country, in New Jersey, in fact, but I grew up between here and India. I would say that my parents are very forward thinking. They really cared about education, my education. They're quite liberal in most senses of the word. But again, you know, they were brought up in India. They still hold on to that culture. So when I was growing up, I saw firsthand what it meant to invest in a girl, to give her access, to encourage her education, to give her a voice, to let me go away for college, to encourage that, right? And I also saw what it was like for my cousins and family that lived in India, even just women and girls on the ground in India, and how women were supposed to be not heard within the home and outside of the home. And so I will tell you very clearly, I am a proud American and I am very much an American, right? But ever since I was a little girl, I spoke up for those differences. I saw them and I was like, hey, wait, why doesn't my brother have to do the dishes? Why do I have to, or like, why do me and my sister have to do X, Y, Z and my brother didn't? And again, my parents were amazing, so I don't fault them at all. But I also just notice more broadly in the community, there's a difference between how men and women are treated. And so I've always, always, always been an outspoken advocate for women and girls, just generally, ever since I was a kid. And then that took on a more formal role. So I went into finance after my undergraduate degree, and I very quickly became involved with the Asia Foundation Lotus Circle and encouraging women's economic empowerment throughout all of Asia, and started what was then called the Young Lotus Circle to sort of bring the next generation of women and girls into it, professional into this role. And so that was really my first foray into a bit more formal voice. but I still wasn't sure, right? Like, I didn't know if that was the right thing. I didn't know if it would be judged. I didn't know what my community would think. I didn't know what my parents would think. And then I got married, a wonderful man. We decided to have a kid, became a mom for the first time. My world was blown open. All of a sudden, I was part of this club that I never knew existed, right? Like when I was pregnant and you would just see the love and the support and women would just look out for you. And then after becoming a mom, I was like, oh my gosh, it was like my eyes opened for the first time on the world and humanity. Fast forward, I had my second. I suffered postpartum depression for a long time and had a very hard time making my way through it. But then when I came out of it, and honestly, it was part of this work that brought me out of it and really formalizing my interest in supporting women and girls globally, and just realizing that it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. This is what matters to me. This is what gives me purpose. This is what makes me feel whole. It's needed. Other people have other things that matter to them. If somebody doesn't have the voice or feel comfortable to be able to speak up for themselves, like, hey, I'm happy to do it. And also, I'm so grateful that I have a little bit of time right now where I can focus on this with 110% of my energy. And also, I have three boys, and that is the biggest blessing I have ever had in my entire life. My boys are amazing, and they are on this journey with me. And my husband is the first one to talk about what I do and to share the email that went out about the Mothers United Tour to our whole family and extended relatives saying, I'm so proud of Deshi. This is what she's been working on. You know, check it out. So yeah.
I love that. And it's so interesting to me the way you described this, because I talk a lot on the show and in my work about how as women, we understand that if we want to do big, brave things, we probably have to raise some financial capital to do that. But what we're not talking about is the fact that we need to raise courage capital to do that. And it means compounding interest in our self-belief. And to do that, what we need to do is we need to enlist allies and we need to have a really clear, strong why. And yet it also means getting past some really consistent limiting beliefs. And I'm just going to recap some of the ones that you mentioned because I think they are so relevant for so many of us on our own journey. So part of it was asking yourself, is this the right thing? Right. And so we debate and we end up exhausting ourselves through the inaction of indecision. And then we say like, oh no, what are people going to think of me? What will my family think? What will my community think? What will my boss think? Am I not dedicated to my work and finance because I have this other passion? And then one you didn't touch on directly, but maybe there's a hint of in the way that you described it is this question we ask ourselves about, is it selfish for me to have other passions? Or should I, as a good mom, a good worker, a good wife, stop there and say, I'm going to invest in my relationship, I'm going to invest in my career, and I'm going to invest in my children. And then maybe if there's some crumbs left, I'll go to the gym and punish myself a little.
Yes. Yes, yeah. You nailed it.
It's so consistent in our thinking. So it was like, for me, so interesting to hear you move through all of those. Because then what I heard on the other side was, and everybody's so energized by it. Because I think what we don't see when we're looking at all the reasons we shouldn't do big, brave things is that actually all the things we care about are likely going to be better because we do big, brave things and we invest in ourselves.
Yeah. And I'm energized. It gives me the joy to wake up every morning and know that I'm building hope, not just for myself, but hopefully for others, that I'm working towards something that I really care about. That it doesn't matter what obstacles are in front of me, even if I am a crumb or, you know, a piece of sand on some other bigger journey that is taking place, I'm still moving in a direction that matters to me.
Yeah. So it's multiplying your energy. And right, we can think of the ways it depletes us, but I think we hear in your story and so many of these that actually we get more energy when we have purpose. So I want to go back to this common limiting belief that I hear you echo, which is like, what's the right thing for me to invest myself in and how to choose a path of focus? Because I think we all want to be useful and impactful in positive ways. How did you decide this is where I'm needed and this is where I'll pour my time and energy and love?
Great question. So I do think that those steps that feel a little bit scary, that are maybe outside of the lines that one has created for themselves, the world starts to open up in ways that we can't even imagine. That certainly happened for me. So I decided to retire from finance and really focus on where we wanted to make an impact, where I wanted to make an impact. I always wanted to be entrepreneurial and decided to try and, you know, scratch that itch and get involved in a few different businesses. I helped start a healthy food startup in Manhattan with a former CEO of the Juice Press, or helped start a jewelry club, a global community online. I also have my GG in gemology just because I have an interest. And then I also started a technology platform, really leaning into the economic impact of women and moms. And what did that mean? And I want to say that that was maybe one of the scariest things that I've ever done, because who was I? I had no right starting a technology company and raising money from friends and family and trying to figure that out. And then ultimately pitching it to the VCs. But thank God I did. And how many lessons I learned along the way. But also that is what brought me to all of my fellow co-founders and the Chamber of Mothers movement. It was this alignment of interest, of stepping out and being brave and talking about where my values were, that then led me to meeting these amazing women. And even more than that, all of the moms, all of the chapter facilitators across the country, my God, have I found my village. And I never would have had I not started to take those steps outside of the lines that I had created for myself in my mind.
I love that answer, because what it says is you don't have to know the right answer. Just go explore, experiment, play, get in there, be engaged. And if it feels good, keep going. And if it doesn't, try something else.
Yes.
You're going to learn every step of the way.
100%. And now I'm getting my master's in public health.
Oh my gosh. Congrats. How cool is that?
Thank you. I just had my orientation this past week, and it was the most amazing thing in the world just to be up there. So I'm getting it from Harvard, and it's mostly remote, but I never would have found this had I not taken all of those other steps and stumbled and went this way and that way. And then being involved in Chamber of Mothers for so long and just wanting to lean into the community and also, you know, public and private policy solutions. How do we think about this on a broader scale, not just here, but globally? How do we introduce the forefront of technology into helping solve some of these issues? I mean, at this point, it's funny. I'm like, I'm a middle-aged woman, but I can do anything.
And I can do anything. Yes. I'm noticing as you talk, like, you've made a lot of big, brave pivots. And I don't even know if they're pivots or just builds on each other. But what is your process when you have these ideas and you're like, I want to get my master's in public health. I want to become a part of Chamber of Mothers. I want to start this fresh foods brand. Once you have that idea, do you have a recipe or a pattern of what you do to validate it?
Sure. So I also want to just say that deciding to accept a grant of a physical bus, so a tiny home,
yeah,
to then create the Chamber of Mothers, Mothers United tour, a 10-city tour with national sponsors and all of the things.
Bonkers.
Totally.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah. One of these out-of-the-box ideas. This is not my area of expertise, but to your question, you know, I think it's really just tying these actions and these moments of, well, what about this? What if we did this? Or this could be a really interesting idea, to alignment with my values.
Uh-huh.
And knowing that it might not be perfect, whether it's starting this technology company or food company or getting my master's or helping to build this Chamber of Mothers, Mothers United tour, but it's going to be amazing. When it comes to Chamber of Mothers, what I realize is that community is everything, right? And building this community, and for me to have this community, has made me feel brave and has made me feel like I can take risks and I can do things that are a little bit different. And the support I've gotten from even inside of the community, that they cheered me on when I got accepted, that they were sending me notes of encouragement while I was at orientation. I was like, this is amazing, right?
Yeah.
And I want that community for all moms across the country. And I want them to know that we need to break down these false divides that exist between us. Motherhood and mothers and families, we're all the same in one way, shape, or form, right? And it's time to celebrate that, to celebrate and support and encourage and provide hope in a moment where so many of us are feeling like things are a lot.
Yeah. And we are so much stronger together. I'm so excited to visit the second stop of the Mothers United Tour.
I'm so excited that you'll be there. So tell me more.
We're going to be like a whole posse. My daughters, my mom, my aunt, and I are all coming. So what are you most excited or nervous about with the tour? Or maybe both.
I am most excited that when this idea first came up, it was really about realizing that we needed to lean into community, right? And lean into the chapters and lean into the fact that we have more inbound interest as an organization than we can truly manage. Everything takes money, right? Time, money, resources. And Chamber of Mothers is funded primarily from individual donations. So you can imagine all those $1, $2, and $5 really, really add up. But we want to be able to start a chapter in every single state across this country. And that is our goal before the end of next year. We want to have as many chapters in as many places as possible. And we also want to be able to show up for moms wherever they are in their journey, whether pre, during the pregnancy, post, and even when your kids are grown and you're a grandmother, it's always going to be something that you are, right? So how do we help engage moms everywhere and families everywhere? We say that being a mom or a mother is, you know, a verb. And of course, you know, a mom is a mom, but there are caregivers.
There's also mothering. Yes.
There's also mothering. Exactly. And so for me to really see that we are going to be out on the road in this physical sense. So we have this incredible online community. We have virtual town halls. You know, we're on social media. We have a newsletter. We meet up in certain areas, but it's hard in this distributed day and age to show up physically. And this tour is about showing up physically. We are going to have a bus that says Mothers United driving across the country as a billboard for all moms. And it's going to say, you know, honk if you love a mom, honk if you, it just, we want to make it fun and celebratory. That is what I am absolutely most excited about.
I'm most excited about it too now. It's really beautiful what you're doing. And you're right. It is all rooted in community. And in this time where so much of the narrative is focused on how we're different, this is really focused on how our needs are the same and how we can unite across political divides, really come together in mutual support for the women in our community who often have a much greater influence on our well-being than the national stage. So really, really, really excited.
I just want to lean into the power of uniting moms. So by 2028, women will own 75% of the discretionary spend, making them the world's greatest influencers, right? One of the key things is to remember that for so long, we have been sold to. We have been told that we are deficient. We have been told that we need this or we need that. And there's a multi-billion dollar marketing industry out there that is very good at pulling money away from us. But I think what is so important for all of the people, especially that are listening to you and this podcast, is to remember is that we are powerful. We are the ones that fuel our economy. We are the backbone of our economy. And there's so much that happens over there, but it's us. It's our spending power that is making this country move and function.
Yeah.
And so really just to take a minute and think about that, and also think about what's going to happen in the next few years. And so almost, and I want to say it's over 70% of mothers generally participate in the American workforce, and 77% of mothers with children between the ages of 6 and 17, and 61% of mothers with children under 1. And the workforce is not built to support mom, right? That's bonkers. We have the ability to do something, and it's all about uniting. It's making our voice heard as one, right? This is about bringing together our spending power, our voting power, our voices to make sure that we're heard so our society and our economy and all of those elected officials understand that we're here and we're going to get loud.
Yeah.
So American women control over $11 trillion in assets. And this number is expected to nearly triple by 2030. Triple. So it's going back to the discretion I spent earlier. I just I want to remind us that wherever we fall on that spectrum, it doesn't matter. This is about all women, right? This is about all moms, right? This is about just coming together, linking arms, and we can make things happen, as moms always have in history, time and time again.
Amazing. I really appreciate that you and the entire Chamber of Mothers have been so dedicated to and creative in pursuit of opportunities for us to connect and link arms and be a force of change. So I know you are surrounded by all sorts of amazing women all day, every day. Who would you like to nominate?
I am very fortunate in that so many of the people in my life I would want to nominate for this podcast. I'm going to give you three. Alexi Ash Myers is a dear friend, and she is a lawyer by training. I believe that she works on all of the legal side for Sanctuary for Families in New York. She is also the one that pulled me into the board of Coalition Against Trafficking in Women, and educated me on a topic that I did not know a whole lot about. I've been on the board for 2 years now, and Alexi is a hero and an advocate and somebody that has truly made a big impact in my life. The second person that I would nominate is Lauren Bush Lauren. She is a dear friend we met as new moms in the West Village, and I have been really inspired by her work with the Feed Foundation and Feed generally, and her commitment to uplifting children globally. And then the third person that I would love to recommend is Zara Tisch. So she is the founder of Perez, and her whole motto in life is to celebrate and uplift and create moments of joy and bringing people together. And honestly, she is fairy dust in a human. I have never met somebody that is so truly magical, and with everything she does and everything she touches, she brings joy and light and connection.
Women are amazing.
They are.
Amazing. These stories help us believe that whatever amazing things we have brewing in the back of our minds, we are capable of creating them. And that it really does take doing as you have done, Deshi, getting engaged, showing up, letting those what'll people think thoughts be there. We're not going to like say they can't be there, but letting them be there and then inviting ourselves to go in and try anyway. So, as uplifters, and this is very much to so much of what you've said, we love to uplift others. So how can we as a community help you and the Chamber of Mothers and Mothers United and get involved in what you're doing?
I love that. One, I would say, as I mentioned earlier, we are fully built on the support of all mothers, families, generous donations from anybody that is able to. $1 goes a long way. And so I would say that if you have the ability, please, please donate and support the movement. It allows us to invest in our chapters and chapter growth. And Annie Bacon, who I mentioned before, you know, we were just able to bring her on as a full-time employee, and we worked really hard to be able to do that. And so you can go to our website, chamberofmothers.com, and you'll see a donate button. Outside of that, we have started a free membership. And this is really about being able to keep you in the loop on what's happening, to allow us to tell your story if you want us to. Join the movement, become a member. It is totally free, and it gives us the ability to kind of keep you up to date and show up at the bus, engage, come 10 stops. We're starting in New York, Summer Streets. We'll be at a Gotham FC women's soccer match. We're going to Dallas, Austin. We're going all over the country. I'm excited to meet you, and I hope to see so many faces out there.
Me too. Yay. Thank you so much for taking time out in what I know must be an outrageously busy week for you. Thank you for the willingness to invest your time and energy into this work on behalf of all of us. And thank you for so generously sharing not just your why, but your how with us, Deshi. It's so great to meet you.
Thank you for having me. It is such an honor to be here.
Thank you for listening to the Uplifters podcast. If you're getting a boost from these episodes, please share them with the Uplifters in your life. And then join us in conversation over at theuplifterspodcast.com. Head over to Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast and like, follow, and rate our show. It'll really help us connect with more Uplifters, and it'll ensure you never miss one of these beautiful stories. Mwah! Big love.
Painted water sunshine with rosemary and thyme. Dwell in the perplexing, though you find it vexing. Toss a star and hover, be your own best lover. Relish in a new prime, plant a tree in springtime. Dance with idle hindsight, bring the sun to twilight. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up. Lift you up, whoa.
In the pre-chorus, right?
I was like, "Mommy, stop crying! Mommy, stop crying! You're disturbing the peace."